This is the Stud Line with your super stud, Tim Conway Jr. and his girl Friday, Adam... What? Oh, with the super studs, Tim Conway Jr. and Adam Carolla, who happens to do the morning show, which makes him more important anyway.
All right, welcome back, everybody. It is the Tim Conway Jr. Show live on 97.1 Free FM. And joining us from the morning show, Adam Carolla, everybody. Look at you, dude.
Timmy, great to be on.
Always nice to have you, man. Always nice to have you. Hey, I got to ask you a question. I thought about, I had a question today, and I thought, you have a background in construction, and there's been some improvements in construction.
By the way, I was praying you were going to say mixed martial arts, even though I've never done them before. I was just praying we're going to say mixed martial arts.
Well, that's the next topic here. But you've seen some improvements on the way they build homes from the 70s to the year 2008. There's a lot of new improvements and a lot of changes that make it more energy efficient, keep people safer, and it's just better, you know, they utilize space much better, right?
Well I mean, first off, let me apologize because I'm in my car and I'm driving.
No problem,
home
no
from
problem.
El Toro Marine Base, by the way. Yeah, I mean, everyone was high as a kite on Coke in the 70s, and that's where we got that weird acoustic cottage cheese feeling
right.
With the speckles of gold in it.
Right.
I mean, how high did you have to be to think that was a good idea for a house?
And they make a special piece of equipment now to take that crap off.
Right, and someone said, it's got little speckles of gold in it. It looks like the surface of the moon, but what's it missing? Ah, I know, asbestos. Perfect. We're done. Created our masterpiece. We'll put it in every home.
I also like the people that are not as informed as you might be, or you know, other people in construction, and they want to sue the companies that actually manufactured asbestos, not knowing that it's a natural substance, isn't it?
And that everybody who manufactured it in the 60s is dead. So you could go, it'll be the people versus the headstone.
Well, here's the question I had for you. They've improved a lot of things in construction and building homes and building freeways and crap like that. But yet, I saw on the corner of Sepulveda and Ventura today, they had a hydrant blow up. And water was, you know, screaming into the air 50 feet high. And
right.
Yet they still have these guys put a raincoat over their back and get within 8 inches of this thing to try to shut it off, right? They can't move the shutoff valve of these things like 20 feet away where you can get to it?
Yeah, that's a very good point.
Thank you.
The remote shutoff valve. I know it was like New York in your dad's childhood during a hot summer day.
Oh, yeah, right. Yeah, just, you know, everyone could crank it on. But also, speaking of water... I heard you talk about this, and I now every time I turn my sprinklers on, I get irritated as hell. Half the water goes on the grass, half the water goes on the pavement, and then into the street. There's been no improvement there at all.
You, by the way, Timmy, you're forgetting the other half that goes on your car after you drive.
All right, yeah, exactly.
Yes, everything but the grass.
Yeah, and the hard water stains it puts in your black car will kill it.
I got to tell you that sprinkler technology has moved forward about as much as saddle making has over the last 100 years. Zero. I grew up in a house where the sprinkler just sprayed the side of the house until it eventually rotted away. You're actually paying somebody to destroy your house, essentially.
Right.
You're paying water bill that's destroying your house.
Right.
They cannot be adjusted, and if you do adjust them, they immediately get out of adjustment, and even if you do keep them in adjustment, some a-hole will step on it.
Right.
And pop it off, and then you have your own geyser in your own front yard.
Yeah, there's no way to adjust it where all of the water goes on the grass. So now I literally hand water my front lawn now. It's not that big because I just can't, I don't want to waste the water.
I can see you in a powder blue jumpsuit, the kind that has the belt built into it. With a cigarette in one hand, a beer koozie in the other, and yelling at the neighbor kids to get off the lawn.
Oh, you've seen the picture then.
Yeah. You've officially become your dad.
I have become my dad on so many levels.
The first time,
really sick.
I realized that the first time I did that slow it down move, where I was walking through the neighborhood, and I go, you crazy kids and your slammed Acuras, come on now.
Right.
You know, the second you start playing the kid card, I got kids.
Oh, yeah, right. No, you become your dad. It's over.
Right.
I remember my grandfather. He used to yell at the neighborhood kids. He was one of these guys who, always blamed the kids for everything. There was a tornado that came down our street when I was a kid in Cleveland, and it took out a eucalyptus tree out of the front of my grandparents' house. It was probably 75 feet tall, and the circumference of the base of it was probably about 22 feet. It ripped it out of the ground, and it went down the street two blocks, and it laid in the middle of the street. My grandfather goes out and he goes, those goddamn kids!
My grandfather was the same way. Like, it didn't matter what news you gave him. The doctor could say, you know, Mr. Carolla, you have an enlarged prostate. And he'd be like, those kids! Those goddamn neighbor kids!
Yeah,
they
drove me to it. Hey, who is the comedian on this week who was talking about air conditioning?
And Larry Miller.
Oh, Larry Miller, yeah. Jesus, man, that guy is hysterical, and he's absolutely right. I have a window unit in my office in my house because I'm the only one in the house that likes air conditioning. My wife doesn't like it, my daughter doesn't like it, and I like it around 61 degrees.
Right.
And so I put a window unit in my office. It's ugly as hell. It vents out to the street. You can hear it. It's loud. But it keeps me nice and cool. And, you know, the alternative to that is shutting doors and shutting vents and blocking them and taping them off to try to direct the air conditioning to one room or one bedroom.
I know. And once you get the air going and you get the bill going and it gets up to 111 degrees like it was today, it's essentially you and your wife do nothing but argue over who left the door open.
Right.
And it's like you're living in a space station. You left one of the chambers in Sector C open, and now we have a breach. Like, what? I'm yelling at my wife, you have to shut the door behind you or the kids' room is going to, you can't leave. And then you start trying to play God, where you do that thing where you go, take the farmer's almanac, stack it up against the vent, prop it up with the Bruce Springsteen book. That'll block the air off to the office and force more air into our room. You become sort of a thermodynamicist or something. You know what I mean? Like you're in a wind tunnel all of a sudden. You're working for Lockheed.
Yeah, instantly you're Bill Nye the Science Guy with your ability to redirect this air. And I do it all the time. If I have a fan in a window, I want to make sure there's an equal space open on the other side of the house so the air can buzz through there. And my wife thinks I'm absolutely effing crazy.
It's funny, too, because, you do sound like Bill Nye. You're like, when you open the window, that creates a vacuum. When cold air is replaced in the vacuum sequence, it has to be replaced by warm air, which rushes in from the outside. It's like you're shoving towels under doors because the crack's too big.
Right. Well, speaking of shoving towels, I don't know if you do this, and maybe this is just a guy with sort of like a low-end house type of move. But if I'm in the bathroom, we have two bathrooms in our joint, and if I'm in one of the bathrooms, there's an air-conditioned vent in the bathroom, but the intake is outside of the bathroom. So I can put a towel at the base of the door, open up the vent, and open up one of the windows, and nobody in the house can know how terrible I'm feeling in that bathroom.
Right.
I'm venting everything out onto the street. Now, the neighbors are going to get a piece of it, but I've perfected how to take a throw the deuce and skate.
Well, call me old-fashioned, but I miss the fart stand. And I don't want the Whisper Quiet 2000 series either. I like the one that makes a racket so I can go to town.
Right.
You know, that's one thing I don't need Whisper Quiet. Make the blender Whisper Quiet. Make the dishwasher Whisper Quiet. I want the fart fan to sound like it's rusty and there's squirrels running it. Because you know when you flick that switch and the fart fan kicks in and right. It sounds like someone just fired up a crop duster, you think to yourself, well, home free, baby. I'm going to town with impunity.
I think that's why it's one of the few things at Home Depot or at the hardware store where they have them all cranked up where you can press like 9 different buttons and get the feel for the fan you really need. Because that's right. A very important piece of equipment for a guy.
Give me the cheapest, loud. Do you have any ones that, like, you know, were left outdoors and have rusty ball bearings or anything? Like, I'm looking for one that sounds like a sewing machine from the 20s.
Yeah. Actually, I used to tape a screwdriver to one of the blades, and it would just, yeah, bum, 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 bum. It was great. Fantastic.
Right. It's the equivalent to cards in the spoke when you were a kid.
All right. Adam Carolla is with us. Now, I don't know if you watch. Do you watch the news very often?
I keep an eye on it.
I think Los Angeles, and I'm talking about all these stations, Channel 2, Channel 9, 4, 7, 11, and 5, they've become completely obsessed with the new Ferris wheel on the Santa Monica Pier.
Yeah.
Every time you watch a newscast, they watch, you know, they show this brand new thing that's lit down on the Santa Monica Pier as if we're all mosquitoes and we're all attracted to that kind of, that typical or that type of light.
Plus, you know, stop me if I'm wrong, but Ferris wheel, not exactly cutting edge technology, right? I mean, this is not a stealth bomber.
Right.
This thing debuted at the World's Fair in Cincinnati in 1728, right?
Right.
Really? It's a wheel where kids spit on each other.
Right. And you hope you don't fall out. There's no security whatsoever. There's no lap belts. There's no cage. Nothing.
I know it is. It is crazy, and we have so little to be proud of here in Los Angeles that between the new Ferris wheel and the La Brea tar pits up the street from where we work, that's about it.
Right, and we've talked about this before. You grew up in the Valley, and so did I. There is nothing in the San Fernando Valley, with the exception of Universal Studios, and that's barely in the Valley.
Yeah, that's higher than sea level. That doesn't count.
Yeah, but there is nothing in the San Fernando Valley. There's no museums. There's no racetrack. There's not a football team, a basketball team, a baseball team, or a hockey team. There is no major There's no major theater going on in the Valley. There's
really?
Nothing.
Really had culturally was the Wiener Factory, and now that's gone.
Yeah, and it's over. But if you take the population of the San Fernando Valley, it's 2 million people. That would be the seventh largest city in the United States, and we have nothing. It would be just smaller, or just bigger than Houston, Texas.
Really?
And we have nothing in the San Fernando Valley. Absolutely nothing. And here's what, if you look up tourism in the San Fernando Valley, you come up with only one thing, the Japanese gardens in the Sepulveda Basin. Have you ever been there?
I've been to the Sepulveda Basin, but I've never been to the Japanese gardens.
I haven't either. I've been to the Sepulveda Basin a million times in my life, and I couldn't tell you where the Japanese gardens are.
But that's number one. Number two is go to Sunland in July and watch Mexicans look for a place to die.
It is unbelievable that there's nothing to there's absolutely nothing to do. You drive around.
I tell people all the time, at least a bad neighborhood has character. You know what I mean? If you grow up on the south side of Chicago, at least some character, some texture to it.
Right.
This is just a whole bunch of stucco boxes with aluminum windows and mini malls.
Right. And Ventura Boulevard repeats itself every two or 3 miles.
If you drove Frank Lloyd Wright through the San Fernando Valley, he would never stop vomiting.
That is great.
I want to tell you how crappy my dad's first bachelor house was in the San Fernando Valley.
Hey, now, okay, go ahead.
Yes, in 1975, in North Hollywood, he spent $15,000 on the house.
Wow.
Can you imagine what a dump that was?
Wait a minute. How old were you when your parents divorced?
My parents, I guess I must have been about 7 or 8.
But did you see it coming?
No, but I wasn't broken up about it. It was more like not a moment too soon.
I was the exact same way. When my dad told me that he was no longer going to be living with my mom, my honest reaction was, what took you so long? I mean, everybody else in the family knew it.
Right.
How come you are late to this party?
I know. I really couldn't have been happier. Or actually, I couldn't have been more miserable. I think that's a more apt description. I had hit my misery bottom living in that crappy house in North Hollywood with no air conditioner and no fart fan, by the way. And those two losers giving each other the stink eye over the dinner table was just one less thing I had to worry about.
I saw a couple, speaking of two losers giving each other the stink eye, I was with my wife at Jerry's Deli, it was about a year ago or so, and a couple comes in, and they're in their late 40s, early 50s, and they sit down, they order, they have appetizers, they eat their main course, they have dessert, they have coffee, and they're there for an hour and a half. Never said a word to each other. Not one word. And they'd be much more honest with everybody at Jerry's if they just sat there and punched each other in the face for an hour and a half.
There, by the way, should be a section, just like there used to be for smokers,
right,
for couples that refuse to speak to each other while dining. Because I went out with Dr. Drew, my wife, and Drew and his wife. We all went out and had a little mosh a couple of weeks ago.
Right.
And of course, they sit you right next to that couple that refuses to have a conversation.
Right.
So my wife says to Dr. Drew, give me the inside skinny. Who's going to be on this year's Celebrity Rehab? And he starts to open his mouth, and then I see him look to the left, and there's the two statues we're sitting next to. Which is just as bad as the one guy who goes there to read the racing form, except for it's worse, there's two of them. And you realize they're a couple, but they're refusing to converse, and now there's foreigners on your conversation.
Right. Yeah, now you got to shut the F up, because all they're doing is listening to you.
And the only thing you want to talk about is why the hell aren't those two people talking, but you can't talk about that one topic.
Right.
Look, if you want to take, that's what takeout is for.
Right.
If you have a broken shell, sham of a relationship where the love and the passion is gone, then you go through the goddamn drive-thru. I like to have a few beers and get my talk on, and I don't want you listening to me. I don't want to hear you go home and go, hey, did you hear the guy from the man show struggling with his sexuality? I heard him confide it to Dr. Drew the other night.
You know, it's almost as bad as the opposite of that when you're watching Oprah or Dr. Phil and you happen to, you know, you land on it flipping through and Dr. Phil or Oprah is talking about the exact same problem you and your wife have. And
right,
that's when neither one of you say anything.
Yeah, that's right.
You just look at that TV and both of you know it, man.
Yeah, I know. And, she's up there going, he doesn't listen anymore.
Right.
He takes me for granted. Sexually, he doesn't want any foreplay anymore. He just wants it. And you're like, would you shut up, honey? My God, you're reading my manuscript. I know. There really should be a warning.
Right.
You know, there should be a little Chiron at the bottom saying, we're going to talk about stuff that hits home in a very uncomfortable way for you and your significant other.
Or just run the names of people who are going to be affected by the next topic. Say, like, uh-oh, whoop, there's the Corollas. We got to shut it off. I just saw the Conways there, too.
Yeah, like your wife would let you shut that off.
Yeah, right. That's also one of the reasons why it's tough to listen to Dr. Laura in the car, too, because it's the same thing. You know, a guy calls up when he's got a problem or the wife has a problem, and you start sweating because, you know, it's the exact same problem you and your wife have. And if you shut it off, you're too obvious.
You know, you have to do like an 8 Mississippi. You have to listen and then switch it off after about 8 Mississippi, but pretend like it's not motivated by anything.
Right, but I think but the way to switch it off, if you just turn it off, you're too obvious. You have to talk and turn, talk and turn. You start talking and then turn it off.
Right.
It's talk, like,
yeah, talk and turn.
Yeah, right. It's like Robbie Fox taught me this, a friend of mine out in the valley. And he said he learned this from another friend of his. If you're ever stuck in a conversation at a party, you have no idea how to get out of it.
Right.
It's compliment and move. That's the way to go. You slap them on the back saying, hey, dude, you got some funny ass there, and you move. Compliment and move, and it works every time.
How about when you're standing next to the guy who's on his cell phone, and you hear he's in wrap-up mode, and you know the person he's talking to isn't ready to quit the conversation just yet? When you hear the guy say 3 times in a row, all right, will do, will do, will do. You want to grab the phone and yell, he's done, he's done. Doctor, I used to sit next to Dr. Drew in a town car, and he'd be on the phone with his wife, and he'd be like, all righty then. Okay. Well, then I'll see you then. Will do. Will do. No, I haven't paid, Delia. You pay? Okay. Well, then will do. Okay. All righty then. Hey, you want to grab the phone and scream, this guy has been spooling down for the last 8 miles. You're not picking up his inflection? You've heard the term will do 3,500 times in a row. Right. That's not a tip-off. Will do. I gotcha. Will do. Okay, then. All right, well, then. Fine. And then you hear him reboot at a certain time. He'll stop. It'll always be about the kid.
Right.
He'll stop. Will do. No, I haven't seen his retainer. Okay, then. Will do.
Right. Some people don't know how to get off the phone. It's like the guy who at the office comes into your office and he says, all right, I'm taking off for the day. And you go, all right, well, you know, see you Monday. And they start talking again. He says, all right, well, I'm going to leave. It's all right. Well, that's the second time. And they start talking. And he goes, well, I think I'm going to retire. I'm going to get out of here for the evening. And I said to him, this happened the other day. I said, Bill, you know, when you say I'm leaving, a major part of that is the actual act of leaving.
Right.
You know, you got to move on when you say I'm leaving.
I like the redundant follow-up question. Like when Bill puts his head in your office and he says, have you seen Rob? And you say, no, I haven't. And he says, you haven't? Like you're going to go, wow, you sweated it out of me. You're right, he's hiding under my desk. The first go round wasn't enough. The first time I said, no, I haven't. Not enough to satisfy your curiosity.
It's the same person, though. And Malibu Dan does this, and Sam Phillips to some degree does it as well. But they'll say to you, hey, I'm going to get a pizza. You want a slice? I'm like, no, I'm cool. Are you sure? Like, I'm pretty cool. I said, well, if I order one, and it's here, do you think you'll have a slice or two? I'm like, no, I just ate. But they keep doubling and tripling and quadrupling you up until you just have to, you have to shut them down.
Right. Yeah, no, I know. My whole life really is just, it's 3 conversations I've had 33,000 times.
Right.
Nothing new. Will do, buddy.
That is the best, man. And it's usually a chick on the other end. You know,
right.
a guy gets the first will do.
Right.
And he's
oh,
gone.
Oh, yeah. Right.
But
when they jump ahead, what? Then I'll see you then. That's will do.
And the worst is when you finally do hang up and 2 seconds later that phone rings again and they got one more to pepper you with, man. One more effing thing to tell you.
That's what my mom will do.
Hey, go ahead.
Yeah, my mom will do the call. My mom will do the one where she calls up and leaves 26 different bits of information for you to decipher on your outgoing message. So
Right. She'll
do that thing where she goes, dinner at 6:30 is good, although your stepdad probably won't be home till 7. We should go 7. Although it does get dark earlier now. maybe we should go to 615. After about the third trip around the dial, you realize 2 days later you have no idea what time dinner's at. She explored way too many possibilities.
She's ruined it.
Right.
Well, I know you're, buddy, you're on your way over to Hollywood Bowl for the Liza Minnelli deal, and I heard you and your wife got great seats for that, so I'll let you run.
But, hey, Timmy, I hate to scare you, but I'm about halfway home from El Toro, and I got nothing to do.
Is that right? Jesus Christ,
that is,
man.
Right.
What were you doing down in El Toro?
There's a show out of England called Top Gear, and they're bringing it to the States. And they're doing it on NBC prime time, and I was taking $150,000 cars and burning the tires off of them.
Wow, that sounds like a hot afternoon.
It was literally 113 degrees on the tarmac, and I was wearing a black blazer.
Oh, Jesus Christ.
Good times, buddy.
Yeah. Well, The Hammer comes out on DVD. Speaking of burning up, man, it's going to be on fire starting June 24th.
That's right. This Tuesday, and I'm going to be at the Virgin Megastore at Hollywood and Highland signing them Tuesday right after I do Kimmel Tuesday.
Oh,
I'm literally just going to run across the street at 7 o'clock and start signing those babies.
It sounds like you had somebody involved with our show scheduling your show where the week your DVD comes out, you take a week off.
It's genius, isn't it?
Yeah.
I'll have time to do everyone else's show, so we'll do it then. And for those of you who missed it in the theaters, don't take the word for it. Go to Rotten Tomatoes or Fandango. Go to the Amazon. Go to Amazon. Check out the rating on the movie. 5 stars. And order yourself a copy.
All right. Now, you're going to be at Virgin Megastore on Tuesday?
Tuesday.
Okay. What time?
Tuesday, 7 o'clock, Hollywood and Highland.
Oh, excellent. Okay. All right. Hollywood and Highland, Tuesday, 7 o'clock. You can go see Adam up there. And if you buy a copy, he'll sign it for you.
Hey, you bring a copy. I'll sign it for you.
Or
you
if
bring your boobies. I'll sign those, too.
Yeah, or if you steal a copy, you know?
That doesn't matter. Just watch the movie.
Yeah. All right, man. We really appreciate you coming on, and I know you're off next week, so if you're available, we'd love to talk to you. If you're not taking some time off, we understand.
Always time for you, Timmy.
All right, man. You're the best. Adam Carolla, everybody. Thanks for coming on, man.
We'll do it next week, Tim.
All right, perfect. Take care.
Bye-bye.
All right. There he goes, Adam Carolla, man. I tell you, that is the funniest guy on radio. Jesus, that we got to play that again, maybe the 10 o'clock hour. Him talking about Dr. Drew. You bet.
Don't be a player hater.
Got it. All right. Yep. Yep. You got it. You bet. All right. Yeah, I got it. I understand. I'll pick it up on the way home. Okay. Yeah. Right. I got it. Uh-huh. You bet. Okay. Jesus
Look, motherfucker, I'm telling you.
I do that all the time with a relative of mine. I'm not going to tell you who it is. All right, it is the Tim Conway Jr. Show News at 9 with Gina Grad. Gina, what's going on with that news?
Well, as you know, Southern California suffered through a massive heat wave today, and Anne Hathaway is halfway to a porn career. This and more after the break.
Hey, fantastic. I love that. Also, David Letterman's top 10 list is coming up. The top 10 questions you need to ask yourself before buying a robot girlfriend. And Randy Wang just heard the list about 10 minutes ago.
List I've ever heard. Robot girlfriend.
Is that right? All right. Well, if Randy thinks it's funny, man, it is. That's a real tough cookie to crack in there. All right. Top 10 Letterman list coming up. It is the Tim Conway Jr. Show. We'll come back with Diana Steele is going to be our guest. Look at that. A big Friday night. And go out there and buy The Hammer on DVD, June 24th. And go to the Megastore. That's Highland and Hollywood, the Virgin Megastore. 7 p.m. Tuesday. And you can meet Adam Carolla up there. He'll sign an autograph for you, and you can shake his hand. Or I don't know what you do up there. Shake his hand. How you doing? Nice to see you. All right, but buy the Hammer on DVD, June 24th. It is the Tim Conway Jr. Show live on 97.1 Free FM.